KSFR programming and podcasts are made possible by the financial support of our listeners. If this program is important to you, please consider making a contribution by clicking on the red Support This Station button at the top of our homepage at ksfr.org. Thanks so much. Welcome to Living from Happiness, where we talk about how to make positive changes one story at a time. I'm Dr. Melanie Harth here on KSFR 101.1 FM. We have got a full studio today, folks, I'm telling you. Catherine Lopez-Kurland is here, Miguel Gandert is here, and Dr. Enrique La Madrid is here. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello, Melanie.
Nice to have you. The three of you collaborated on a truly wonderful book called Hotel Mariachi, which won the International Latino Book Award first place just last year. It's very exciting. Catherine Lopez-Kurland, you grew up in L.A., you moved to New Mexico from New York, and you completed graduate work in historic preservation and regionalism at UNM, among many other things in your busy life. And Dr. Enrique La Madrid, your bio is a very long one. Here's just a bit of it for listeners. You're chairman of UNM's Department of Spanish and Portuguese. Your research interests include ethnopoetics, folklore and music, Chicano literature, contemporary Mexican poetry, and literary translation. You've published several books. And finally, you're a longtime collaborator with photographer Miguel Gandert, who's sitting right next to you in the studio today. Nice to have you here, Enrique.
Thank you.
And Miguel Gandert, you're an internationally known photographer who has been documenting Indo-Hispano culture in the Rio Grande corridor and exploring mestizo cultural identity in the Southwest. You're the director of the Interdisciplinary Film and Media Program at UNM. You identify yourself as a Nuevo Mexicano. Both sides of your family have lived for generations in northern New Mexico, and you've got a family home, I think, that is still located in Mora. You've lived in New Mexico your entire life. Thank you for being here today, Miguel.
Thank you.
Catherine, what is Hotel Mariachi?
Hotel Mariachi, the book, is Hotel Mariachi, Urban Space and Cultural Heritage in Los Angeles, which Miguel and Enrique and I put together with the University of New Mexico Press. And this did not start out as a book. It started out as a story, as a project to save Hotel Mariachi, which is a hotel in East Los Angeles, in Boyle Heights. It was originally the Cummings Hotel, which my great-grandparents built in 1889. And it's now the Boyle Hotel, Cummings Block, but best known as Hotel Mariachi or Mariachi Hotel.
And why is it called Hotel Mariachi?
Because for nearly 50 years or so, most of the residents have been mariachi musicians. And the hotel is located right on what is officially known as Mariachi Plaza de Los Angeles. It was not always called that. It was in the 1990s, they gave it this official title. And that's because this is where the Mariachi Center of Southern California, where the musicians would wait during the day, all dressed in their charro suits to get gigs. And they could then run back up to the hotel and grab the rest of their group and say, let's go, we've got a gig. And it was convenient, it was cheap, it was the place where they lived.
It's fascinating. Your personal involvement, along with this scholarly and research exploration, which we'll talk about more in a minute. Miguel, how did you get involved, and what was the purpose of your first trip to L.A. in 2007?
Well, I mean, it's really interesting. Catherine was my student. And she
at
did.
At UNM.
She was my student in the Historic Preservation program in the Department of Architecture and Planning. And she sort of said, you need to come out to L.A. and you need to see this place, which is really quite remarkable. And I figured, well, I'd go out there and I would talk to people and start maybe photographing, thinking there was probably a group of scholars or anthropologists or somebody working on it. And we found, much to our surprise, there nobody was.
Why would you think that people would be interested in this as a scholarly research project?
Well, it's a great community. I mean, it's a unique community. The importance of mariachis to Los Angeles is huge. It's an interesting phenomena. I mean, there you have really literally a Mexican community of artists living in a single place that was sort of under siege because the building was going to be either destroyed or co-opted or turned into condos for the Hope Medical Center up on the hill. So here you had this amazing cultural artifact, and I just thought, you know, you've got UCLA, you've got USC, you've got all these universities, yes, in the area. Somebody would be looking at it and studying it, and much to our surprise, nobody was. So we decided to do it.
And you got pretty excited about it, I think. And it's my understanding that you actually went in 2007 to take photographs of it before it was demolished.
It never was demolished.
No, it was, but it was, the plans were to have been demolished.
Well, either demolished or it would have been changed,
condo-ized,
gentrified.
Yes.
So yeah, you think it's going to be a short-term project and you're just trying to make as many images as you can of value before
it gets
devastated.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we started out doing some oral history interviews and mm-hmm. and photographing it. And the book is what came out. You know?
And the photographs, I have to say, listeners, are really beautiful. They really are.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful book. It really has. Enrique, can you tell us what is mariachi? What is it?
Well, that's a great question. And part of the mariachi story is Los Angeles itself. And people think of L.A. as being kind of on the edges of Mexico and on the edges and the periphery of things like mariachi culture, which is associated with the centers of Mexico, Jalisco and Michoacan, some of those central states. And come to find out that Los Angeles is really one of the epicenters of the development of mariachi culture, which took place during the 20th century. And it developed from basically a kind of folk music, a kind of peasants' music from the western coast of Mexico that turned into like a national soundtrack for the rest of the country. And this began back in the era of Porfirio Díaz and for the centenary of Mexican independence in 1910. He brought in mariachis from the coast, and at that point in time, they were dressed in peasants' pajamas and white pajamas with huaraches on their feet. And from there, it just took off. People loved it so much. The music on the coast is very happy music. People think it's because they attribute it to the climate, and this music made its way up into the highlands to make people up in the mountains were supposedly sadder, and the music cheered them up. But it's actually a very complex musical form. The basis of it is very intercultural, the son. And the reason you can tap your foot in twos or threes is actually the Afro-Mexicano influence in this musical tradition and really in all of Mexican music. It's not only Indo-Hispanic, it's Afro-Indo-Hispanic.
Yes, it's a wonderful sentence description from the book Hotel Mariachi that you wrote, which says, eminent Mexicano music historian Alvaro Ochoa Serrano likes to say that the national music of Mexico is the, quote, daughter of three cultures, quote, the people who came here from Europe, the people who were brought here from Africa, and the people who were already here, the Native Americans.
Yeah, it's a terrific tradition, and I never thought I'd get to work on it. Santa Fe is my hometown originally, and of course we all love fiestas, and one of the highlights of fiestas is mariachi music, and it's totally exotic to New Mexico. It's not from here. Mm-hmm. We naturalized it. Actually, Roberto Martinez from Mora was one of the first musicians to really make it New Mexican as well, largely through violin, local violin styles and whatnot, but we love it. But it's as exotic as flamenco. It's a little closer in than flamenco. So I was so pleased to finally get to work on it. And the last thing I wanted to do was go poaching in California, like so many Californian, cultural documentarians do in New Mexico. And so we made sure the coast was clear and that really none of the academics in Southern California were interested in this story, even though Catherine invited them into it. Mm-hmm. And when that didn't pan out, we went for it. And I must say, it's the one historical preservation project that I've worked on that isn't some kind of elegy. There's a victory story here that Catherine and Miguel will tell you about.
Well, we have to know a little bit about that before we take a break. What is Enrique referring to, Catherine?
Well, the victory story, and it's not total victory. The battle goes on, but the victory is this hotel was pretty much undisturbed due to benign neglect. It was built in 1889 by a well-known architect, a fine four-story brick building in a part of L.A. which was a very sort of prosperous new suburb of Los Angeles. And then the whole area went downhill, and the building fell into disrepair, although essentially it was in good shape. Well, I saw it for the first time about 12 years ago, and at that point realized this was the hotel my great-grandparents had built and that I'd always heard about. And I ran up the stairs when the door opened up and looked around, and there were mariachis everywhere. And then the next thing I learned was the building was for sale, and it was probably going to be demolished because a new metro station was coming in right there. And now this area that nobody cared about in Boyle Heights, 95% Latino, was going to be changed. And the story is that since then, the hotel was not only saved, but it was restored by a wonderful nonprofit, East LA Community Corporation. They raised $24 million, and they have brought back the pride. And this and the metro has helped too, of course, but has brought back pride and real vitality to this whole area, which was really very depressing when Miguel and I first went out there and started photographing.
It's fascinating. We recently did a show with the local Creative Santa Fe folks who are trying to build or are going to build an affordable housing live workspace for artists and creatives. And we're talking about how much economic resurgence artists of all stripes can bring to an area. It's now time to take a break. We'll be right back. And before the break, let's listen to a bit of mariachi as we go to the break. This is a fantastic group called Mariachi Sol de Mexico. We'll be back in a minute.
De tristeza bajo la luna huasteca, juré dejar para siempre mi violín y linda tierra. Hoy les digo la razón para que lo sepan bien, que hoy dejo lo que más quiero por seguir a una mujer.
Ay, la, la, la.
Ay, la, la, la.
KSFR programming and podcasts are made possible by the financial support of our listeners. If this program is important to you, please consider making a contribution by clicking on the red Support This Station button at the top of our homepage at ksfr.org. Thanks so much. This is Living from Happiness. I'm Dr. Melanie Harth. What a wonderful show this is today. Thank you so much for being here. Before we get back into the conversation about creativity and scholarly collaboration, mariachis, saving hotels, finding about who we are through our ancestry, Miguel, please tell us what's happening on February 18th.
Well, on February 18th, in conjunction with the show at 516 Hertz Space in Albuquerque, a show about home, where we have 20 pieces from Hotel Mariachi as well as a video, we're doing a book signing and presentation of our research in the context of the show that's going to be up for the next couple of months. The show opened on February 6th, and it'll be up for 2 months. And it's an opportunity not just to see my work, but a number of other works that are dealing with homeland and being home. And for us and for me personally, that's what Hotel Mariachi is about. It's a place where a community of artists live and work and find work. And it's one of the most creative and inspiring kind of things. And so we're going to talk about those ideas and the book itself and the importance of L.A. to mariachi and show people the work.
Wonderful. Thank you. Can you talk a little bit, Miguel, please, about the part of your work that has to do with exploring mestizo cultural identity in the Southwest? What does that mean? What is mestizo? Can you define that first, please?
Well, I like to use the term Indo-Hispano. It's okay. Easier to read and understand. Mestizo is really about the mixing. When people first came to Santa Fe, you know, we sometimes often like to think it was all about conquistadors, and it really wasn't. Even the first people, even Oñate was a Spanish Mexican. And mestizo is who we are and who our identity is. And so for me, my work over the years has explored those places where the confluence of indigenous people meets with Spanish-Mexican colonial society and comes together. And that's so much about what we are in New Mexico, at least what I call the Nuevo Mexicano community and the Pueblo and Navajo and Zuni and the indigenous communities. There's a fusion there. There's a place where an incredibly strong vitality exists between these two cultures. They're not separate. They were vecinos. They were neighbors. So that's my work is primarily exploring that very complex relationship between people who can both claim this is a legitimate homeland.
It's fascinating. I need to have you come back and do your own whole show about this topic. I really do. And Enrique, I need to have you come back and do a whole show just about music. And Catherine, I need to have you come back and do a whole show just on your personal ramifications for you of having written this book and undertaken this collaborative journey with the two men sitting here. It was a very personal thing for you, wasn't it?
It was, yes. Life is full of surprises.
Isn't it, though?
And this started off as an opportunity to at least document the hotel that I realized was this family hotel before it was torn down, as I mentioned. And one thing led to another. And besides getting Miguel and Enrique personally, I learned so much. It opened whole worlds for me about my own self, my own family, and who I am. And one reason was that I was working on the nomination for a Los Angeles Historic Cultural Monument with the Historical Society of Boyle Heights. And I had to do the background and learn about the hotel. And I realized that it was built by my great-grandfather, George Cummings, with his wife, Maria del Sacramento Lopez, and that they had actually been in and owned land in were major landowners in Boyle Heights since at least the 1830s. I had no idea. And I also learned that my family had come to Los Angeles in the 1700s, that they were pobladores of Los Angeles. And then I also learned that my family was, that I'd always thought was, somehow or another had arrived from Spain, was Mexican. And I learned that I am Mexican. Mm-hmm. And this has opened up, this is probably the major change for me, is that I feel like I have a whole community. I feel like a fuller person. I feel like the mariachi music. I feel like all of those three parts, in fact. And so it's just opened up worlds in a very personal way. I learned much, and also I learned about the community and how much they cared about this building, and that it was an icon, the icon for the community, and everybody rose up to save it. But for me, it's a very personal story of growth and just learning about my background and who I am.
Yes, that's fantastic. And what an amazing journey for you. Really amazing. And then the three of you, personal for you, Catherine, Curlin, scholarly for the two of you, Miguel and Enrique, and yet you were all working, collaborating together, which really can change the whole ballgame. Do you want to talk about that for a couple of minutes, Enrique? Collaborative creativity.
Sure, sure. And of course, the scholarship here is Catherine's department, the really delving into the urban history, the family history, and what Miguel and I do is much more ethnographic, actually. The interviews, just getting out on the street with the community, doing all these field recordings that never made it into the book. We're releasing them, especially for this museum exhibit, to give away to people and let them hear what these people, what this community sounds like when it's celebrating itself. And it was terrific. It was really, really a lot of fun. We documented the Santa Cecilia feast day in November. She's the patron saint of music. And who is Cecilia? I mean, we even went all the way back to kind of Roman times to investigate this. You know, she's the patron saint of music. She's who is Simon Garfunkel singing to when he's singing to Cecilia? He's got a writer's block. He says, "Cecilia,
is that right?
Give me a break." Yeah,
that's amazing.
Give me some inspiration. Mm-hmm. And so it's a great fiesta to see. And to me, the big revelation to me, I knew that mariachi music was playful, but it's absolutely playful. It's totally erotic. And there we were at 5 a.m. For the mañanitas for Santa Cecilia, who was a virgin saint, and she got married, and on her honeymoon, on her wedding night, she convinced her husband to become a Christian, and he went for it. And I thought that they would be singing her some kind of hymn, but what they sang was a son huasteca, a very popular one called La Cecilia. And it's not about a saint. It's about waking up next to a beautiful woman in bed, realizing that she's the love of your life. Now, whether or not that marriage was consummated or not, it makes no difference. In the song, it's clear that it is consummated. And so here these people singing in a very religious way, in a very devotional way, this love song that's that erotic. And of course, that's what all the rest of mariachi music is. The mariachi theme song, the song that starts off every single set of mariachi music, they always play it first. It's called La Negra, and which means the black woman, literally. But in Mexico, it doesn't mean that. In Mexico, it means honey. It means honey. And the whole definition of race is so different in Mexico. And so it's just totally flirtatious song that if all the high school mariachi groups out there, if the parents knew what the lyric, they probably do know it. Yeah. They probably do know it. And since the kids are playing mariachi, that's one less chance for them to be up on Blueberry Hill or something. But the lyric goes like this. It's the singer's talking to La Negra, and he says, "A todos diles que sí, pero no les digas cuándo. Así me dijiste a mí, por eso vivo penando." And he said, you tell everybody yes. They're after you. They want to make love to you. And you've told them all yes, but thank God you haven't told them when. just like you said to me, and that's why I live in suffering. I live in pain, and the pain of not consummating our love. And I just am so in love with you, Negrita. The soul of my life, my little black girl, my honey. And so this is the theme song. You would recognize it instantly because there it is on the Plaza of Santa Fe, the Plaza of Mexico City, the Plaza of Jalisco, Michoacán, every single plaza in Mexico. You can hear La Negra.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much. Miguel, is there something that you'd like to leave listeners with as we get closer to wrapping up the show? You were nodding your head a lot. You really like the erotic nature of Cecilia. Not to call you on that. Nobody can see you. But
well, his mom's name is Cecilia.
My mom's name is Cecilia, yeah. And she was a heartbreaker. But no, I mean, one of the things for me that's the most exciting, and I did bring it up a little earlier, but this is truly a community of artists. And they needed to be supported. And ELAC stepped up to the plate. People in the community, Catherine stepped up to the plate, saving the building. All these things are just amazing, and it's so seldom that the arts have a place where you can really see and get a sense. I mean, all you need is a business card and your instrument, and you're a group of mariachis. Some guys will have 10 ties. We were there once for Cinco de Mayo, and it was amazing. Every single mariachi got work that day, except for about five or six, because they ran out of trumpets. And, you know, but they're all playing together. They're all out there. And it's just a pure passion of people who've come to the United States. There's a tremendous influence on mariachi. And then the fact that, and the most exciting thing is that there wouldn't be any women mariachis if it weren't for L.A.
Yes.
And that is a New Mexico. That is really the California contribution.
I'll tell you what, we're going to end the show not with our usual theme music, but with a fantastic trio of young women, mariachis, who I just fell in love with. Thank you so much for being here. We're actually out of time.
I just want to mention Evangeline Ordaz Molina, who wrote the introduction to the book.
Okay, thank you. That's great. Thank you so much for being here, Catherine Kurland and Enrique de la Madrid. No, I want to call you De la Madrid.
And that's La Madrid, no
La Madrid. And then Miguel
Gandert.
Thank you. Oh, my God. I've never had three people in the studio before. All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening, my friends. Here's to your happiness. KSFR programming and podcasts are made possible by the financial support of our listeners. If this program is important to you, please consider making a contribution by clicking on the red Support This Station button at the top of our homepage at ksfr.org. Thanks so much.